Well, men, all the ladies looked up. Men, I made a little to-do list for us today. So follow along with me and see if any of these fit into your life. We go to work. There's about, what, 8 to 12 hours possibly out of the day. Wash the car, mow the grass. Maybe we're working at building a doghouse for the past 3 years. I got to run to the store and get something. Fix the toilet that's been leaking for the past 2 years. Go get the kids from school. Then we go to ball practice. And then there's a light bulb that I've been needing to change. I got to get that changed. Clean the gutters out. Oh, I got a sister that needs some help with a broken door. Won't swing right. Take the wife out for supper. Yeah, that's a good one there, right? How much time do we have left? Not much. All right. Oh, we'll take the dog to the vet. That's because you didn't have the house made for him, and now he's sick. Pay bills. Burn garbage. Probably most of you don't burn garbage, but we burn garbage at our house. Wash the windows. Change a tire. Call the plumber. Mow the grass again. Go out with friends. Get ready for camp out. When the list goes on and on and on. Men, we've got our plates full, don't we? We have got our plates full. It seems like there's never any time just to sit back and relax and kick your feet up and enjoy life. There's always something to do. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 says this: "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Well, if we have completed all these chores, this list of stuff that we need to do, we shouldn't have to worry about the next paycheck. I mean, we ought to be rich, right? We're diligent in getting all these things done. We put a lot of effort into it. We put a lot of time into making sure that those physical needs are met. And that's good, because we have something to show for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul makes a little list for us of all the perils and the stresses of his life. Remember him talking about the beatings that he went through? Being in prison, shipwreck, sleepless, and the list goes on and on. And he makes this statement in verse 28. He says, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches." See, Paul had what Brother Eric just finished talking about. He had a relationship with his brothers and sisters to the extent that he felt as though they were family. And even to the extent that they were his children. He even said this about Timothy: "He is my true son in the faith." Paul's deepest concern was not about his next meal. It was not about the next pay raise. It was not about getting the doghouse bill. It was not about any of the physical things on this earth, his safety or his comfort in any way whatsoever. But it was about the spiritual welfare of his family. Specifically, his children. Paul, when addressing the family in Ephesians chapter 6, he says this about the relationships between dads and children. "And you, fathers, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Statistics would say that 1 in 3, or 24 million kids in the United States, are living in a home that has no presence of a father figure. 1 in 3. 24 million kids without a dad. So if we were to poll the church, how many kids would say that they don't have a dad? Not necessarily the presence of a dad, but a dad who is not concerned with their heart or with the spiritual well-being of their children. In preparation for this lesson, I have again been convicted and humbled how important it is to lead our children to know, to love, and to serve Jesus. I have again been challenged at how important it is and how much of a responsibility it is for Dad to follow through with teaching and showing their children how to love Jesus. I'm going to be the first to admit I have neglected this responsibility and I have failed at this responsibility numerous times over the past 20 years. I dropped the ball, but recognizing the error of my ways at different times, I picked the ball back up and strive forward, press toward the goal that is there before us. I had, as Hosea said in chapter 4 and verse 1 and verse 6, no mercy or knowledge of God in my land. And my children, or my people, are being destroyed because of my lack of knowledge. You see, there was ignorance on my part. And when I recognized the importance of me teaching children, my children, about the way of the Lord, I had to do something personally. I had to grow spiritually. I had to take the ball and dribble her down the court. I had to be involved in my own spiritual growth so that I could help my children grow in the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. I don't think we realize how important or how big of a responsibility we as men do have in the family when it comes to teaching and training our children spiritual things. This has been God's plan and intention all along. He says there in verse 1 through 7, "Give ear, O my people, to my law." Okay, here's the word. Here's the law. I'm giving it to you. "Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and we know. And our fathers have told us." "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and in it He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers," direct command for those fathers to do what? "That they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, and that those children who would be born may arise and declare them to their children, and that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." God's intention all along was for the fathers to pass the law to the children, telling those generations and those generations to come the praises of the Lord. And they were commanded to do this and make them known to their children. And what was the purpose? "That they may arise and declare them to their children, not forgetting the commandments of the Lord." God expected this of dads then. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, men. He expects that of us today too. King David recognized his error with his first six sons. And he says this to his son Solomon on his deathbed in 1 Kings chapter 2. "Keep charge of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill His word which He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, He said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. If you have children, if you are considering having children, or if you have a child on the way, the spiritual health of your children should be the true passion in your parenting. The spiritual health of those little ones should be the passion in your parenting. 3 points I'd like to bring to you today. One is, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of children and doing just as I'm talking about, training them, okay? Secondly, I'd like to discuss then the plan. What's your plan? And thirdly, I'd like for us to investigate the prize. The purpose, the plan, and the prize. I remember quite well February 28th, 1996. Sheila remembers that day. I don't know why she remembers everybody's birthday. That's my Brianna's birthday. I don't know where she's at. But I remember being a first-time dad, holding this baby, so excited and scared to death. Notice how I'm holding her? Yeah. Had no clue what to do with a baby. And that's where Mom comes in. She's such a good mom, she said, Alan, hold her closer. And I looked down upon her, and you know what happened to me? My life changed completely. My purpose in life completely got messed up here. It's no longer about me, but now it is about something else, someone else. Now it's about a soul. Now I have a different purpose. I have someone who is dependent upon me for everything in their life. For their food, for their clothing, their shelter, for love, and for their teaching. And it's my responsibility with this thing. I was so scared all the way home. That was the longest drive of my life. I think it worked out well. What is the purpose? The number one purpose in having those children is that we could lead a soul to Christ. That is your number one purpose as a mom and dad, is to get that child to know, to love, and understand who their Savior is. Our ministry as parents should be our family and our children. Are your goals in parenting to produce the next brilliant scholar? A talented athlete? The most popular with the most boyfriends? Do we want them to have six-figure wages, looking for that next mansion on earth, focused on materialistic things as the world is? No. We need to apply the first and greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The purpose of having these children is to bring another soul to Christ. They're gifts from God. And we are to get them back to Him. As Jesus told us in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, He said that we're to do what? Make believers, right? And baptize them and then teach. Teach, baptize, and teach. And that's the purpose of our children too, is to get them to that point in their spiritual life. Have a focus on them, that is our goal. And it is a continual process and a continual work that never ends. I fear sometimes we get them wet and throw them to the wolves. Here you go. life's tough. Hope you do well. You've got the Lord on your side. Yeah, that's true. But they have to have the teaching and that continual understanding of the way of the Lord in order to get them to heaven. And it's our responsibility as parents to do that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says they're to be imitators of God as children. Have you ever noticed that your kids imitate everything that you do, whether good or bad? Son, don't kick the cat. Why did he kick the cat? Who did he see kick the cat? Me. They'll do absolutely everything you do. They'll say what you do. They'll watch what you watch. They'll do what you do. Because they are imitators of those that they look up to, being mom and dad. We want them to imitate Christ Jesus, and we want them to imitate God. We don't want them to imitate my bad attributes. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says this: the righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed. And some translations there will say, follow after him. If we are walking in Christ Jesus, our children will follow after our example. And they will walk in Christ Jesus, just as we are. Brethren, this is the scariest talk I've ever had to give in my life. Because there could be a time when my children don't follow after Christ Jesus. And that's the scariest thing about it. The world has its poles. The devil has his ways. But if we truly love God and we walk in our integrity, they will see and they will know and they will give forth their effort in following after Jesus just as we are. What a man does will have an effect on his children. We cannot tell our children to do what I say and not what I do. We have to set the example. I heard that so many times growing up. Son, do what I do. Do what I say, not what I do. It doesn't work. Because I will do what he does. I will do what our examples are doing. Our example will have spiritual ramifications on the hearts of our children. In Malachi chapter 4, in verse 6, the prophet's talking about the coming of the time that we're in now. And he says this about the fathers and the children: he will turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Turning those hearts to one another is very key and important when it comes to walking in Christ Jesus, being imitators. If I am focused as a dad on spiritual things, and I am pouring in me, in my heart, God, then I am turning myself to my children with the same mindset. I want them to know God. And because I pour my heart and my soul into them on a spiritual level, they then turn their heart to you. And you have this blessed connection in God. If God's my purpose in life, my heart will be turned to my children. And their heart will be turned to me. The number one purpose in parenting is to lead a soul to Christ. Number two, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. This is under what is a purpose still. Malachi 2:15 says that God is seeking godly offspring. God's intention from the beginning was that the fathers would teach the children, but it would be a continual thing that goes on and on and on. A generational, multi-generational vision would produce a multi-generational faithful offspring. It wouldn't stop. God needed this so that His people would be established on this earth. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 2, it says that you may fear the Lord your God. This was after the law was given to Moses, and Moses passed that on. And God says this, gives this instruction after that law is given, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you, your son, and your grandson, all the days of your life, that you may prosper or be prolonged. Who is he speaking to? It wasn't just the here and now, but rather speaking to the men of now, their children and their children. It's a multi-generational flow that God expected to come from the family. You, your son, and your grandsons. And then in verse 3 he says, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly. The command was to be kept if Israel was to grow, to multiply greatly. God was seeking those multiple generations of faithfulness to establish His people. That's no different today in the church, is it? Yeah, we want to go outside the family, our intimate family, and seek and help those come to Christ Jesus, but we have to focus our ministry on our children so that we can keep the foundation in Christ Jesus right where it needs to be. That it continues from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. Joel says this, tell your children about it. Let their children tell their children and their children another generation. So in being purposeful in our marriage, we need to make sure that we are producing godly offspring. And last in that portion, if we are not purposeful in discipling our children, teaching them, they will be discipled. If we aren't doing it, somebody else is going to. It might be the basketball coach. It might be the neighbor next door. It could be the friends at school, the teachers, their first employer. Most definitely could be the TV and internet. And the one we don't want to hear is the devil. If we're not discipling them in Christ Jesus, something or someone else will be influencing them. And most of the time, not for good. Hear my instruction. The instruction of a father. And give attention to no understanding. For I give good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Spiritual weakness and possibly unfaithfulness is inevitable if we as parents are not purposeful in our parenting. So we must be prepared. We must have a plan. So what's your plan? Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 talks about vision. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. In the family, if there's no vision, guess what? The children will perish. I'm not a visionary type of guy. You know me. But you put a plan before me, we'll make her happen. And that's where my wife comes in. That's where it's a beautiful picture of what God expects and intends in the family, is when husband and wife work together in unity with the same understanding of their goals and their plan in parenting, and they put forth a great effort for hopefully a great ending. I'm not a visionary, but I need some help, and we'll get her done. So here's some suggestions then for a plan. Discuss expectations of character and obedience. What do you and your wife expect whenever it comes to obedience of your children? And what's their character going to look like? And have an idea of ways that we can try to train their hearts to meet those expectations. And remember, those guidelines always need to be what God tells us and God gives us. Agree on discipline practices and follow through with those practices with love and consistency. Don't train the behavior, but rather train the heart. If we're not touching the hearts of our children when we're disciplining them, then it's in vain. They don't understand. They just feel the pain. And they need to have an understanding of why mom and dad are doing this so that they can then change the attitude of their heart. So you as mom and dad need to agree on that type of discipline and use it for their benefit in teaching and training their heart. I tell you what, as your family grows, that little one that I talked about that was so precious, she was a good one. They're all good ones, but she was a good one to have first because it really let us move forward with more. If she'd have been the bad one, we probably would have stopped. She was sweet. She is sweet. Where was I going with this? Oh! But as you get more children and you have different types of minds and different personalities and different skills, you have to start reevaluating some of these things you guys have talked about. And we've got to go back to the drawing board and figure out, how am I going to discipline this one? Because that doesn't work with him. He is so stubborn. What am I going to do to get a hold of him? So maybe now the SWAT doesn't work for him, but rather taking away something does. Or making him stand in the corner. Or tying his hands and feet. Where's Destry at? Yeah. A lot of loads of manure. And then he ended up liking it. We need to reevaluate then our plan continually as we're thinking about our children's hearts. Spend time with your children in conversation, in work. Work beside them. Have them work beside you. In play. Play beside them until you're wore out. Reading. Family devotionals. Bible study. Spend that time with them. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. Not unfamiliar to us. But it says there, lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. Teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth. Take every opportunity in your life to reference God. Everything that you do becomes a teachable moment. Whether you're out looking at flowers, you can teach about God and creation. If you're working and the sweat's pouring down, you can talk about the sin of man. And this is why we've got to do this. Everything that we can do can focus back on God and take those opportunities. But not only that, bind them on the doors of your on the doorposts of your house. Make your house a special place. Make your home a safe place. Make your home a city of refuge that your children can come back to, and that your family can be open with their sin, that your family can talk about their struggles and their sadnesses, and you can all sit around and rejoice in your joys. Use your home as a place of refuge for them. These are still suggestions for your plan when it comes to purposefully parenting your children. Moms and dads, you need some time together alone. You need some time together researching, reading, attending some of these conferences that may be available, marriage retreats, church meetings, so that you can be re-energized and ready for the next battle when you get back home. because parenting is the hardest job that you will ever have. And you need to be prepared, have a plan for when those struggles come in your family. And when you do that, when you have a plan in place, then you can go to battle. Psalm chapter 127 is a very special passage to Shania and I. Not many people know this. And Brother Tom Woody does not know this. But he gave a lesson from this passage that was the final little boost for us to pursue adoption. And it says here, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of a womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." With a good plan, with a good purposeful plan, you've built yourself an army right at home. Envision this. Here we have Dad standing in front of the family, holding that shield of faith, wielding that sword of the Spirit. And behind him, we've got Mom, building him up, encouraging him as a leader, standing behind him, and giving him the encouragement that he needs to stand up for this family. And right there beside Mom and there with Dad are those arrows that are being sharpened, that are being put together, a quiver full of them, ready to be shot out into that battle of the world. Not afraid, because they have been given what is good and true and righteous, so that they can, as what the Scripture says, speak with their enemies in the gates. What a blessing it is to have those little arrows. We want to have them prepared so that they can be influential in this world. Well, we talked about the little ones. But what about when they get older? Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I'd like to encourage you not to stop having a plan. Not to stop having a purposeful plan for your family, even when you get old and gray. Even whenever you become grandparents, you can still have an influence on your children and your children's children for that multi-generational continuance of the gospel of Christ. Titus chapter 2 says this, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And here we are, this example thing comes up again. "That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, love, patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands." Continual teaching taking place. "To love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, young men, exhort them to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you." Just because you no longer have children in the home doesn't mean that you cannot be an influence upon children, your children or your grandchildren. So we have the plan. Put one in place in your home so that you can prepare your children for battle on this earth. Now the prize. The prize is found in 3 John chapter 4. I have not a lot to say here other than this. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." That's the prize that is before us. What a job we have as moms and dads. The largest responsibility of anything in this world. Does not compare, or holds no comparison whatsoever to any career, anything that we might do outside of our home. raising our children is so important. So we need to have purpose. Dads, recognize your huge responsibility and take a hold of it and move forward with it. Realize that our purpose is to lead those children to Christ, producing multi-generational continuance of the gospel, discipling them so that they are not discipled from someone else or something else. Have a plan set in place in your family so that you know what to do whenever those struggles come, because they will. And when you have that put together, Lord willing, we can sit back and we can enjoy the prize. I've been asked to offer the gospel invitation. You know, without Christ Jesus in your home, all of this is in vain. You will have more struggles in your home if you do not have Christ as the center of your marriage, if you don't have Christ as the center of your family, and if your children do not have Christ as part of their life. So if you are here today and you are part of a family and you don't have Jesus, it's important that you bring everything together with Him. And if you are contemplating Christ today and the sacrifice that He made and the joy that is set before Him, He despised the shame but was on that cross for you, and you know that and you realize it, then why don't we obey it? Today's the day. Now's the time. Won't we stand and sing? A song has been selected.